This is Amarin's.
Hi, everybody. This is Arthur, and welcome to episode 21 of my podcast. We've got a lot to go over this week, partly because I haven't done a so-called live recording since Tuesday of last week, so there are three episodes worth of comments to go over. Plus, there are a few items in our personal news that I wanted to go over, so I'm just going to get right into it. First up, if you read my blog, amarin.blogspot.com, you will have noticed that Nigel and I have adopted a puppy by the name of Jake. He is what the breed is called a Cavoodle in this part of the world, and a Cavapoo in America. And what it is, it's a cross between a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel and a Poodle. And the thing about these hybrids is that they tend to breed out the genetic deficiencies that build up over time from purebreds, and generally take the best of both breeds, if it's done right. The important thing is that the hybrid be a true hybrid, the Cavalier King Charles Spaniel on one hand and the Poodle on the other, and not breeding two Cavoodles together, because then the genetic defects start to reappear. Now, we're sensitive to this issue of genetic defects because our late dog, Sive, was a purebred Wheaton Terrier, and it was probably some of those accumulated genetic defects that led to her early death. We bought her from a pet store. I think it's a relatively small chain of pet stores in New Zealand, which have an excellent reputation. Now, we don't have the problems with puppy mills and whatnot that you sometimes hear about in the American news, so that wasn't really a concern for us. And because the pet store wants to maintain its good reputation, it's going to deal with reputable breeders. And you sort of take a crapshoot if you buy directly from a breeder. You don't know really how good they are. I mean, you can do a certain amount of background checking, but only a certain amount, really. And that was part of the problem that we ran into with Sive. The man who bred her, was not all that great, as it turns out, and was in trouble with the authorities on several different times. And in retrospect, he probably wasn't a good breeder to have gone to, but we didn't know that at the time, and we didn't actually think that we should have to check into a breeder's background. He has been closed down, but it made us a little gun-shy about going directly to a breeder. So we felt a bit more secure going through a reputable pet store rather than trying to do the breeder thing. Now, so far, as I wrote in my blog, he has been amazingly at home. I've never seen a puppy so settled in immediately from the moment he walked in the door. He was just happy to be here, and he was really interested in things, but not in an overly naughty way, as some puppies are. But when I've had puppies before, and even Sive, they're often a bit timid at first, not quite sure what's going on and the people around them and all that. Well, Jake wasn't like that. From the very beginning, he was friendly and he was affectionate and didn't seem the least bit worried about what was going on around him. Now, he was in an enclosure with two other puppies, two other Cavoodles, and the other two were fairly dominant, and they would beat up on him and things like that. But what he would do, and they would fight over food and things, but what would often happen is that they would be fighting over the food, or not really fighting, but, wrestling, and Jake would calmly walk in there and pick up the food bowl and walk away with it, and they would suddenly stop fighting and realize what he'd done, and then, of course, go after him. So he was somewhat submissive in the enclosure, which is good news for the cat, because it means that he's not likely to be terribly, or even any at all, aggressive toward him. Now, they've only met briefly so far, the cat and the dog, but of course Curzon, the cat, has lived almost all of his life around a dog. It's only been a few weeks when there wasn't a dog in his life. So this is nothing new to him. And he has been coming in every night and sleeping on the bed next to me, just like always. So he's clearly not afraid to come in or anything like that. I do suspect, though, that as Jake grows up a bit and is able to wander around the house freely, that he may not be coming and jumping up on my lap when I'm sitting at my desk anymore, as he did the other day, for the first time in years. So, we'll have to wait and see how that all happens, but so far so good, and Curzon the cat doesn't seem to be at all bothered by what's going on, and Jake the dog is settling in very well. Now, we decided to go ahead and get a dog. I had mentioned that we thought that we would try to do without one for a while and just see how it went, but dogs do add another dimension to your lives. They're really glad to see you when you get home, and they're excited to see you, and they're express their affection toward you, whereas cats may be affectionate, but it's in a different way. And You can even sometimes tell that they're pleased to see you, but it's almost like they're pleased to see you, but don't want to admit it. So they're completely different temperaments, obviously. I mean, they are cats and dogs. They're not the same thing, after all. But we missed having a dog around. We missed the presence that a dog brings into the household. So we decided that we would be better off to adopt sooner rather than later, especially for Curzon as well, because we didn't want him to get too used to being an only animal. So it was just better to adopt sooner. Now, also this week, while all this was going on, of course, the air conditioning system was being installed. And it's, as I said before, it's a central inverter system, so both heat and cool. And it's the most efficient type of that sort of unit. A reverse cycle by itself isn't as efficient as a true inverter, which is what this is. And there is a slight problem with it in that it seems to have trouble sensing temperature, and it even at 18 degrees Celsius, it is really quite hot in the house. However, what we've noticed is that the quality of the heat is much better than it was under the old gas air hot air system that we used to use. It warms the entire house. It even warms the hallways, which don't have any vents in them. There aren't really any cold spots in the house. So this is a really good development. And although obviously we haven't had an electric bill yet, it's only just been in. They finished day before yesterday. We nevertheless will expect to have power bills during the heating season that are less than half of what we were paying for gas. But of course, it isn't just about money. There were two issues for us with this. We wanted to be able to cool in summer as well as heat in winter. Now, Auckland has a fairly damp climate. It's damp in winter and humid in summer. And so you need to be able to remove the moisture from the air to be comfortable at any temperature. And of course, an inverter-style system does that, whereas a gas forced air system doesn't normally. And it may sound curious to some people in America that we have to remove humidity, because in American systems in wintertime, normally you have to add humidity. But the climate here is so damp in wintertime and humid in summertime that you just don't need to worry about that. It's the opposite problem. But the other issue as well is that the gas forced air system obviously was burning a fossil fuel, creating greenhouse gases. And the natural gas field that's called Maui, and it's off the Taranaki coast, or Taranaki to be more accurate, is running out. And before long, it will be out of gas, and we don't have any new fields that have come online yet. And so it is entirely possible that the gas would have to be imported, and the cost will be going up. The electricity, however, a lot of it is generated from renewable sources, such as wind, geothermal, and hydro. There's another one. As well as coal, especially in wintertime when it needs to be topped up because of all the people using their electric heaters. But because of this mix of renewable and non-renewable sources for generating the electricity is often greener than using gas would be. Because when you burn the gas, obviously you're emitting greenhouse gases, and when you're using electricity, you're not necessarily generating greenhouse gases, or at least not quite so many. So it's cleaner as well as being a better heat system. So far so good with the new system. As I say, it does need a slight adjustment because it's registering. It thinks that it's colder than it really is and keeps running. But they're coming back to adjust that probably tomorrow. So then things should be fine, but if I think it's necessary, I'll give you an update. Now, in the main news, in the real news, or whatever you want to call it, there's something that caught my eye today, and that was that the White House is apparently seriously considering a brief stopover for President Bush in September, when he's on his way back from the APEC summit in Sydney. APEC is the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum, and they have, I think it's annual meetings, I'm not positive on that, but it's to foster trade and economic development and all these sorts of things in the Asia-Pacific region, which is essentially the Pacific Rim, you know, United States, Canada, Japan, South Korea anyway, and so on. The September meeting will be in Sydney, as I said, and on his way back, they're thinking that George Bush may stop in New Zealand. Now, I have mixed feelings about that, I have to admit, because on the one hand, I think it's good for a U.S. president to visit New Zealand. And the last one to do so was Bill Clinton when he came for the APEC summit in 1999, I think it was. However, it's George Bush, after all. And there was an online poll that was taken on the New Zealand Herald website, and at the time that I looked at it, there was only there were fewer than 2,000 people had responded, but 71% weren't in favor of a visit, and only 29% were in favor of a visit. Now, of course, the poll is completely meaningless because it's only those people who have chosen to leave a response. But I think it's kind of indicative of how a lot of people in New Zealand feel. George Bush is not a popular person in this part of the world, not even in Australia, actually, despite having his deputy sheriff, so-called, in the form of Australian Prime Minister John Howard. But, you know, that's the way things go. We'll see what happens. I'm not entirely sure that he will show actually stop over, because the summit is the 8th and 9th of September, and of course that's only a few days before the 6th anniversary of 9/11, and Bush will be getting back for those commemorations. So they may just decide that there's just not enough time for him to stop. So now let's get on to the comments, and this goes all the way back to Tuesday of last week, June 19th. It was episode 18, Tuesday Catch-Up. And there are a few comments on that, so I'll just get right into it. First up is Archer, who says, interesting info about the elections. I'm looking forward to the chat about the schools and how things are decided, i.e. curriculum. That is a cute photo of you. Each week you should put up another photo, one each week for each year. Let's see 1 year old soon. I know what you mean about CRS. I'm having that a lot lately. And CRS, depending on who you listen to, stands for either can't remember stuff or can't remember shit. In either case, it's something I've certainly experienced more of in recent years. So I said, I want to do the school thing right, so I'm holding off a bit. Maybe some interviews? And I'm thinking about doing something a bit different and a bit more special for that episode. And the school holidays start on Friday, actually later this afternoon, at the conclusion of the school day. So, where was I? Oh, yes. Next up, Archer also added, oh, glad you enjoyed the Sauvignon Blanc, which is Alan Scott. I mentioned that I bought some in the supermarket and tried it, basically on their recommendation. He says, we love that one. It's very grassy and has mineral notes. I haven't had the Chardonnay, so I'd be interested to hear what you think of it. And I added, yep, love that wine. We'll see about the Chardonnay. I don't like them too oaky, so I usually buy Kim Crawford unoaked Chardonnay. Kim is a him. They're huge supporters of the New Zealand gay community, too. You may be able to find their export wines in the U.S. And as a general rule, I'm tending more towards Sauvignon Blancs now than Chardonnays anyway. But if you do happen to find Kim Crawford in your local wine store, you might want to give it a try. Support the LGBT community here in New Zealand. Next up, Nick in Paris said, Archer, does the power failure in New Zealand make New Zealand a third world country now? Just teasing. Great show, Arthur. And I said, poor Archer, he needs more podcasting friends around the world to help him with his questions. We can only do so much, eh, Nick? And what Nick was referring to was, I think it was on a regular Archer show, I can't remember, it might have been a gangbang. Anyway, he was talking about Argentina and wondering if it was a third world country. And so that's actually what that's referring to. But, of course, that came up in my podcast with Nigel. But that also is mentioned again in the comments, so I'll wait till I talk about that one. Calvin said, I still don't understand what you're talking about with the city and its parts. I'm clueless, I guess. I know you just want to climb in the rankings, you iTunes whore. I'm still looking forward to the special guest, and I'm happy to know that pussy is doing better. Everybody likes a happy pussy. And I said, happy pussy is fundamental to a happy home. Of course I want to climb the iTunes rankings. It's like money left on the dresser afterward. Of course, that's a reference to being a whore. Obviously, probably a lame reference, but at the time it seemed funny. I actually have picked up some more reviews. I have to admit, I haven't had time to check this week. But no, I did try to check, that's right, and it wouldn't allow me to access. The iTunes store was unavailable or something. But I had had one added from Daniel at Callbox 7. And as I've said before, the point of the reviews, I really don't care about the rankings, despite what Calvin says, and despite the fact that I noticed that in Podomatic, my podcast has now become number one in the personal journals category, and his is number two. I don't take any notice of rankings personally. However, if I do go up a bit in the rankings for iTunes, it means that if somebody does a search on iTunes for Amarins, it'll come up in the first window they see for podcasts, and that's really what it's all about. And the reason it matters to me is because over 80% of the, what do they call it, pod catchers that access my podcast are iTunes. 80% of my podcatching is from iTunes. And so obviously it would be a good idea for people who use iTunes to be able to find my podcast a bit more easily. And that's all it's about, I promise. That's all it's about. So those are the comments for episode 18. Thank you, everybody. And that, of course, was Tuesday of last week. Now, moving on to episode 19, the show with Nigel. I'm trying first at the Podomatic site. Now, I had mentioned before that I had trouble accessing, that I wasn't aware of comments on Podomatic. And I checked, and it turned out that somehow the email notifications had been turned off. I don't know how that happened. But I've since turned them back on, and I now do get a notification from Podomatic. Also, I had mentioned a couple of times running out of bandwidth. Well, that's not going to happen anymore. I have gone to Podomatic Pro, which I have to pay for, of course. But it means that I have more than enough bandwidth now and enough storage space that I can probably go the better part of a year without having to delete any episodes, which is good because I noticed from my statistics that people are still downloading all the way back to episode 1 this month. Quite a few of them are. And actually, on the subject of statistics, I just think it's vaguely interesting what the top 3 downloads have been for this month. And they've been the most, and they're all clumped pretty closely together. There's only a few between them. And so it could change before Sunday, my time, because it's Pacific, I think it's Pacific time that Podomatic takes its time from. But the most popular episode was the No Nukes episode. And second to that was Every Queen's Birthday. And third was the podcast with Nigel. Now, the thing about the No Nukes is interesting because I think that the traffic on that is largely the result of people doing some sort of search. Because I also got a friend request from some anti-nuclear group on MySpace, and I suspect it had to have something to do with that. Although I'm not actually personally anti-nuclear, as it happens. I just happen to support the nuclear-free legislation in New Zealand. I'm probably ambivalent about nuclear power. I'm quite unsure about it, partly because, well, anyway, I don't want to get into that, but I'm just not anti-nuclear. I'm not pro-nuclear, but I'm uncertain either way. Let's put it that way. Now, on the Podomatic site for the... Oh, this is the episode with Nigel. Michael in Stuttgart left a comment, but he also left it on Blogger, so I'll wait until I get to the Blogger site to read that. Jason said, "A very funny podcast. It was great to hear Nigel's sense of humor again. I didn't realize that Nigel was so addicted to Krispy Kreme donuts. I will pass on this comment that how can they be called Krispy Kreme when they're neither crispy nor creamy? And once we get rid of George Bush, you do have to come for a visit. Once again, great to hear Nigel." And I said, "The irony is that the only place we've had Krispy Kreme is in Sydney, not America." Nigel made the same comment about them in one of the segments that wasn't used. Now, actually what happened, if you recall, it's going back a week now, is that we'd started recording earlier in the week, and there was a power failure. So that got messed up. And we didn't have time to do Tuesday, so it ended up being, I think it was Wednesday, before we finally had time to record. And then I edited it all together, but there was, in one of the segments that we lost, or didn't use, I can't remember which, he had made that same comment, oddly enough. Then Brian in Rochester said, "Hi, Arthur, what a fun show. Both our shows do kind of compare, as you said. It was great to hear Nigel. What a great voice, of course. Look forward to your next show." What he's talking about, Brian has a podcast called My Gay Two Cents, and there's a link on my blog, amarins.blogspot.com, and it's a great podcast, and he had started a series with him and his partner, and in the first part, he interviewed the partner, and his partner was saying some of the same things that Nigel had said. Now, before Nigel and I started recording, I said, "All right, whatever you do, don't say, 'I hope this isn't boring,' because every time a non-podcast partner is on a podcast, they say that. And it's boring to say, 'I hope it's not boring.'" And then sure enough, Nigel couldn't help himself, and he said it. So that's what that was all about. In my response, I said, "It's uncanny, really, how non-podcasting partners tend to say many of the same things. Mind you, we podcasters probably do, too. I'm looking forward to hearing your next episode, too, and to hear you being interviewed," which is supposed to be the next segment of that. And I haven't checked yet if it's out. I haven't checked today. So those were the comments on the Podomatic site. For the episode with Nigel. Now, on to Blogger, which is, of course, my main blog. Archer said, "I loved this episode of Amarins. Nigel has lived such an interesting life. I really enjoyed hearing about it. I also enjoyed hearing his take on the U.S. and hearing what it's like when he was younger in New Zealand. Of course, I want to see pictures of Nigel now, and you. I want you to follow my suggestion and post one picture a week for each year you've been around. Sorry to hear about the car accident. I hope it wasn't a big deal and things are okay now. I think you should have Nigel on more often, and give him a drink or two if he wants. What was that wine you were talking about? I heard Nigel mention something about wine and missed what it was. Anyway, I really enjoyed this one. So much fun hearing you guys together. I want more of you two together. What fun. A big hello and hug to you both. Thank you, Archer. I said... first of all, I said to everybody, I said, thanks everyone for your comments. Nigel has read them too, and would thank you himself if this thing didn't have only one contributor. He'll be on again. And of course, what I'm talking about is I'm the only contributor to the blog, so he couldn't do that himself. And I said to Archer, thanks. It was a fun episode to do, even if Nigel insisted I have prepared interview questions. Pictures? Well, I mean, come on. It's hard enough for me to agree to put pictures of myself on my blog. Do you think I can get one of Nigel? Anyway, I said, the car is being fixed right now. Not a big drama, really. And actually, I need to ring them when I'm done recording this, because I haven't heard back to see how close it is to being finished. But it's only been in there this week, so who knows. Nigel mentioned a sticky wine, by which he means a late harvest Riesling or Semillon, which are far too sweet for me, almost syrupy. Oddly, to me, they also taste more strongly of alcohol. He likes a late harvest Semillon called Rose Tree Cottage, which I think is normally for restaurants and export. Maybe we should do a wine show. Nah, skip that. I don't know anywhere near what you do. And that meant Archer and me do a wine show, actually. And I said, thanks for the hug. Next up was Mike, who said, lovely episode, Arthur and Nigel. Enjoyed it very much. Nigel seems to be a perfectly wonderful person. The tone of his voice is very soothing, and of course I love a nice Kiwi accent. Other than Chicago and perhaps Dallas, Houston, you should avoid the middle part of our country on your next visit. Stick with the coasts and make sure you come to Atlanta. You haven't seen hospitality until you've spent a period of time in the capital of the GLBT South. Suggestion for next time Nigel is on? Speak more about his Maori heritage. It's simply fascinating to hear about the amicable relationship between Euro-Kiwis and Maori juxtaposed against the bitter and confrontational relationship between Euro-Americans and Native Americans. Thanks, Mike. In my response, I said, Nigel is a wonderful person. Not that I'm biased or anything. We haven't been to the South or to the U.S. together yet. I haven't been to Atlanta in 27 years. And actually, there's a story there. In 1980, I went to Atlanta with a friend of mine, and we stayed with a relative of his. And we were just in the process of coming out, really. And we decided that it would, I don't know why or how, but we decided it would be a good idea to go to an adult theater that was showing gay films. So it was on some peach street or other. I mean, there's about 30,000 streets in Atlanta that have peach in their name, I think. So we were in this theater, and we walk in. There was a really hot summer day, really bright outside, intense sun. We walk in. We didn't have sunglasses. We couldn't see a bloody thing. And I walked into the auditorium, and you can hear the sounds of the porno. I don't need to fill your imagination as to what they were about. But couldn't see anything. And somehow or other, my friend managed to find a seat, and he pulled on my arm and pulled me down, and I realized the seats were there and the screen was actually behind us as we walked in. And I mean, I'm sure that was good for the gentlemen who were already in the auditorium, because they could see whoever walked in and check them out, but people walking in couldn't see them or anything else. So we watched the films, which was kind of interesting in even in just an academic sense, because we'd never seen anything like that before, at least I hadn't. So we left and went back to his relative's house. And that night, the evening news came on, and the announcer said with a sensational tone of voice, next up, an expose of the sex industry on Peach Whatever It Is Street. And they showed a film of the outside of the adult theater where we had just been that afternoon. Our hearts stopped, our breathing stopped, and we didn't make a sound. I don't even think we blinked for the next 15 minutes till they came back from commercial and when it finally got to the story. And I don't know when they filmed it, if it was a different day or what, but we weren't in the film, so there wasn't any explosive coming out story to go with that. But because of that, Atlanta has been indelibly burned into my mind for that one incident that was about 27 years ago. Anyway, also in my comment I said, I also think the difference in treatment of indigenous people is interesting. In truth, though, it's a question of degree, as there's some darker chapters in New Zealand history, too. Maybe we can structure an episode around Maori issues, which is something I'd like to do, but we'll see how we go. Nigel might have other ideas. Next up, Nick in Paris said, this was a fantastic episode. Like Mike and Archer have said, I completely loved hearing from Nigel. In particular, I thought it was interesting to hear about the differences between Kiwis and Aussies. Growing up in the UK, I knew a lot of Australians, but very few New Zealanders. I'd love to hear more about Māori tradition and culture. I'd also be interested to hear about the differences between New Zealand cities that seem to provoke strong reactions in you both. Oh, by the way, my toilet in France has two buttons, too. Fascinating, isn't it? The banter and rapport between the two of you was excellent, very fun, and very sweet. All the best to both of you, Nick. And then he adds, Nigel, will you ever forgive me, even after groveling? I love the music. And I said, thanks, Nick. I'm not surprised that in the UK you knew more Aussies than Kiwis. Aussies are much louder. Yes, I'm joking. Speaking of joking, we weren't completely serious about the cities. There's a bit of rivalry among cities, with some mostly good-natured banter back and forth. I'm sure Nigel will forgive you. I stuck up for you, you'll have noticed. And I did, because I actually think Nick is a great guy. I love his podcast, Nick in Paris. And there is a link on my blog. Actually, come to think of it, that's the second time I've mentioned links on my blog. And I finally got around to reorganizing all of my podcast links. I used to have them separated into podcasts I never miss and other podcasts I listen to. Well, that got to be a bit of a nonsense because I actually listen to all of the podcasts that are listed on my blog. So I've just renamed them all. I put them all together, and it's in a section called Parade of Podcasts. And so all of the podcasts I listen to or mention are probably listed there. If they're not, it's just because it's something I haven't gotten around to, putting a link to yet. But all my favorites are there. Do check them out. And I also have a little section I put there for links to podcast resources, one of which is Podomatic, because, I mean, they're my host. I suppose I should promote them. And the other is podcastsoup.net, which is one of my must-see, must-visit sites or whatever. Because, you know, I can't always keep up with these podcasts I listen to. I do fall behind, strangely enough, I know. And Mike's summaries of these various shows is really helpful to me, I have to say. Because sometimes I prioritize podcasts based on what he says about them. I think, well, I got to find out for myself what he's saying. But it's always really interesting. I think I mentioned this before, I'm sure, but I remember that he once referred to his comments, his summaries as being like show notes with attitude. And they are, I suppose. But one of the things I really like about them is that he often puts in links to things that, like in the case of my podcast, things that I should have put links into if I'd thought about it a little bit more, but he always thinks about it. So he does a great job. And if you haven't gone to podcastsoup.net, you really must. It's definitely worth a visit. Next up is Advar, who's actually Michael in Stuttgart. And he said, hi, Arthur. This was, again, a really great show. Nigel is very funny and has a thrilling voice. The discussion was interesting and informative as usual and not boring at all. Were his, by the way, quite attractive accents New Zealandish or Māori? Does Nigel speak Māori? You both were so sweet together. It was nice to listen to two guys so obviously in love. Please do ask him to reappear on the show. The song at the end of the podcast was brilliant. And as I said, it's Michael in Stuttgart. And I said, vielen Dank. Nigel's accent is one of the many variations of a Kiwi accent. There are regional and cultural variations, just as there are in most countries. Nigel speaks a little Māori, but isn't fluent yet. And actually, when we were living in Pāroa, we enrolled in a Māori course, they call it Te Reo Māori, and it's the language. And I only lasted one session. And the reason is that they used the full immersion method, where basically little or no English is spoken, and you have to, it's like being thrown in the deep end of a swimming pool. Well, I can't learn language that way. Every language I've ever studied, even only slightly, has been the more traditional method of translating back and forth and those sorts of things. And that's the way I think now. The old bit about you can't teach an old dog new tricks, well, it may be true for languages. And I struggle too much in the full immersion method. And so one day I'm going to get a self-paced study at home thing, probably with CDs or something, or DVDs or whatnot, and learn it that way, because it is still on my list of things to do to learn Māori. But I can't do it through the full immersion method, and it seems to be the only way that you can. Yeah, so if there's any developments in that department, I'll keep you posted, but neither of us speak Māori at this stage, really. Daniel said, great show, guys. I especially like the disco music station in the background. I do come bearing gifts for Nigel, however. Follow this link to all that American TV has to offer from the comfort of your computer. And then there's a link. It says you'll need a BT client, a BitTorrent client. If you need help with that, let me know. And I said, thanks for the gift, Daniel. The background music was also Nigel's idea. I guess he finds the idea of recording a conversation in a quiet room daunting, although I'm alone when I do it. Of course, naturally, we certainly wouldn't need to find anywhere to download TV programs. I mean, who would do such a thing? Jason said, where exactly does one leave a comment? On the blog or at the podcast site? I thought it was a great podcast. I do have one question. There's a little icon that says explicit. How exactly are your podcasts explicit? I think you need to work on that a little more. What the fuck are you talking about? No. What I really said was, I said, either site. I encourage comments to this one, but I can get them at Podomatic too. And as I explained, I'm now notified that I have new messages. I said the explicit tag is so I can say whatever I want, and so can guests. Also, iTunes gets a bit funny about podcasts' content and tags. And what that's referring to, basically, is that iTunes does use a bit of censorship, which is one of the complaints that people have about it. And here's where it's most obvious. If you go onto the American iTunes store, the names of songs often have asterisks in them, which always struck me as silly, because it's not like you won't know what they're talking about. I mean, I don't get it, I have to admit. But when you go to stores in other countries, they do. They have the complete name of the song. They don't use the asterisks. And I have no idea why that is. I mean, I suppose it's got to do with their community standards or something like that, or maybe they just don't want flack from the religious right. I don't know. But you don't necessarily find that in other countries, and iTunes has a reputation for being cautious in that area. And so just to avoid any trouble, I feel it's better just to have the explicit tag. And I know there's a long way to get around to explaining that, but I was momentarily distracted for reasons I will discuss in a moment. But now I need to get back to the comments, carry on with the comments. And next up was Dee, a fellow expat American, who said, hi, I'm finally catching up on your podcasts, starting with this one. First, y'all are just adorable. You mesh really well together. Nigel sounds just like a coworker of mine who I call my work husband, although I'm fairly certain he would never want to see a girl naked. Anywho, some thoughts on the podcast. I can assure you that Americans and Canadians do not smell the same, especially the Quebecois. I also think that Aussies smell different from Kiwis, not that I've gone around smelling people. The Maori Pacific Islander question was a result of watching Brotown, as well as rumblings I've heard here at work drinks. Maybe it's more localized in particular parts of the country, cities in New Zealand. I visited Auckland once, and I can tell you I was quite happy to hightail it back here to Wellington. Would not want to live there. But to each his own, right? Makes visiting all that much better when you have people to go see. I like the ending song. Is Nigel a name particular to New Zealand, or does it have UK roots? On to the next podcast. And I said, thanks. I'm guessing that the smell comments weren't literal and must be a Kiwi thing. I'm not sure I would have put it the same way. I've heard other people in New Zealand say something similar, but it always, every time I hear somebody say something like that, I'm like, at least for a minute, I'm not quite sure where they're at. Anyway, I said, I think there may be some regional differences, but I don't think that in general. There's really the kind of division that Brotown, which is a New Zealand cartoon aimed at adults, depicts. I think they're just taking the mickey, making fun of things. I know I've never experienced anything like it, which is what makes me think that there might be regional differences. Maybe we should discuss this when you're on the podcast, I say to her. I love Auckland because it's big and full on. I moved here after living in Chicago for 13 years, and that city has more people than all of New Zealand. But I also like visiting Wellington and other places too, of course. And you're right, it is better to visit when you know people. And of course, we were actually joking more than not about the other cities. We don't have anything against any of the cities. We just like living in Auckland. But I went on to say, I think, and someone can correct me, that Nigel is a mainly British name that's common in other Commonwealth countries as well as the result of the British influence. John Q. Public said, Arthur and Nigel, what a fabulous, with two exclamation points, podcast. As has already been stated, you were very sweet together, and I can't wait for the next time you're on together. I've been away for a week, so I'm just now catching up. Now, the faggot in me is very interested in you both answering the following questions, if they're not too personal. And I'm actually not going to read these questions, and the reason is, you can see them for yourself in the comments at emrins.blogspot.com, but the reason I'm not going to is because most of them are probably going to end up being in the next podcast I do with Nigel. So there's not much point, I suppose. But if you're interested, you can go and read the questions for yourself. But at the end of it, he says, okay, I'm through playing Ramble Redhead for the moment. Best wishes to the guys from New Zealand, which I thought was funny. And I said, Thank you for the comments. Those are very good questions. So much so, I think they'd make a great start to the next podcast Nigel and I do together. Thanks. Now I don't have to think of as many questions to ask. Actually, I'd be really interested in any questions people would like answers to. Anyone can leave questions here or email me at emrens@yahoo.com. And if there are questions that you want me to ask Nigel or that you want to know about the two of us or what have you, by all means, feel free to email me or leave a comment. Calvin said, I really enjoyed this podcast. I think it was funny how Nigel kept expecting you to take it down a more humorous path. And I can't believe that he thought he bought an electric blanket. Those things are, well, okay, I suppose. And hey, I thought people only use hot water bottles for enema bags anymore. Or am I mistaken that people do that at all? Oh, and you're a chicken hawk. Well, I was flagging dark green on the right all weekend long. And I said, well, Calvin, perhaps it's just your group that uses hot water bottles in that way. 5 years difference, and it is only 5 years difference, despite what Nigel says. Hardly makes me a chicken hawk, I wouldn't have thought. And he's also makes a reference to the Hanke code. I believe that's what he's talking about. But it's been so long, I've forgotten what they are now. I'm not even sure what dark green means. But and a chicken hawk, for the uninitiated, is an older gay man who likes younger gay men. Chicken generally refers to young men, say late teens, early 20s. Well, I suppose it's a matter of perspective. If you're in your 80s, somebody in their 40s might be chicken, I guess. Anyway, and while I was recording this, I also received another comment at the Podomatic site from Ramble Redhead on this episode. And he said, I love this show. This was great to hear more from Nigel. I can't wait to be able to have him on my show, and we can flirt all night long. Because you might recall that Nigel talked about flirting with Tom. And I said, I can edit that out. And of course, I didn't. Anyway, he says, I have a funny story regarding Krispy Kreme. We'll have to share it when I interview Nigel. I can't wait to hear more from him and you, of course. Thanks, Tom. Nigel and I recorded together, Tom had asked him to be on his show, Ramble Redhead. And so that will be coming up fairly soon, pretty much, I suppose, when they can get the... You know, make the time to sit down and record, because of the time differences, it can be a bit dodgy sometimes. On now to episode 20, the previous episode where I had my Skype chat with my friend Jason. Archer said, fun chat with your friend Jason. He's right in my backyard. You guys talked about a lot of things. I've been to my high school reunions before, but not sure about the future. Jason is quite the world traveler. I haven't been anywhere compared to him. I'll be checking out his blog some more. And I said, I have to admit the main reason I haven't been to a high school reunion is that the big ones, 25 and this year 30, have been while I was living in New Zealand. But I doubt I would have gone anyway. It just doesn't interest me. I'm not negative toward it, just not interested. Then Calvin said, you know, it's so odd. I see San Francisco politicians walking around all the time, and personally, I don't really get that much of a rush. Well, I don't really care about seeing any famous people in general. Although, I do think that when I was looking through my latest Minna magazine, which I believe is meant to be the plural of man in German. Anyway, magazine, that one of the featured porn stars was someone I saw working out at my gym last week. Oh, well. I do think that DC is really fun. Was the Safeway mentioned, the communist Safeway? And who knew Art was afraid of heights? When you come to San Francisco, we'll have to go out on the bridge, and you and JR can be nervous together. And I said, being a political junkie, I've always been interested in meeting politicians. Here in New Zealand, that's really quite easy to do. And actually, there are stories about that too, of course. As I said previously, I'm a member of the New Zealand Labour Party, which in American terms is a bit like being a Liberal Democrat. And I've gone to the last two campaign launch events for the Labour Party in the last two elections. And what struck me both times is how you just mingle freely with these people who are running the country. The prime minister doesn't stick around, but you're in the same room with her, obviously. But I did actually, the last one I went to, I actually had a bit of a chat with the deputy prime minister, who's also the minister of finance, Dr. Michael Cullen. And it was really strange because in some ways, he, in American terms, he's kind of like a combination of the vice president and the secretary of the treasury all rolled into one. And the same thing is true with other MPs who are cabinet members. And you see these people in the news every day, or maybe at least several times during the week. And so they're kind of, in a national sense, they're famous. And yet they're just there in the room and just ordinary people. And the prime minister has security around. And there is security that you wouldn't see in the room when these events are going on, you know, non-obvious. But there's a level of access and of contact with these people that I don't even think that they have at the nominating conventions in America. I don't think that ordinary Americans generally are able to hang out with groups of politicians in the same way that you can here. Now, I presume it's the same for the other big party in New Zealand, the National Party. It certainly is for the smaller parties. But it's the first thing that struck me when I went to the very first campaign launch that I went to back in 2002 was how, I don't know, small town it almost was. There was an easy level of contact that just, to me, just blew my mind because I couldn't imagine that happening in an American sense, certainly. There's one other thing I wanted to just mention in passing, quickly I should say, I suppose, and that's over on my MySpace page. I had a comment, and I'm feeling free to say this because it's posted publicly, but it's from one of my MySpace friends called Enrique, who said, hey, mister, heard Nigel on your podcast today. Awesome. It's always cool to hear couples. Gives guys like me hope. Oh, and cool hearing you on the gangbang, Archer's gangbang. It's been a while, and talk to you later. And so I just wanted to give a special shout-out to him, and I appreciate the fact that he listens. And also to him and to anybody else, you know, who might be going through difficult times, just, you know, things do get better, and you never know when, you know, the man of your dreams might just suddenly pop up in front of you. In my case, he happened to be on the other side of the world, but hey, yeah, these things happen. But basically, there's good reason to be hopeful because there's a lot of opportunity out in the world, both personal and in other ways as well. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say about that. I do have a MySpace page, which you get to in the usual way, and quite frankly, I can't remember how to do it. I think it's myspace.com/amarins or whatever it is. Anyway, there's a link on my blog. I'm also on Facebook. If you are interested in being my friend on Facebook, let me know, and I will sort that out somehow or other. I like Facebook, probably more so than MySpace, but I don't fully understand it yet, I don't think, and I'm just getting used to it. But I am on that. I'm on Flickr, and I'm on Twitter, and blah, 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 blah. Too many things, I think. Those are the comments, and that is the news for this week. Thank you very much for listening, everybody, and for your support and your feedback and for your downloads. And, one last thing before I go. I had said a couple episodes ago, about a new Frapper Mapper named Mark from Montreal. Well, I got an email from him, which I was hoping I would, where he helped to tutor me in how to pronounce the city name in a French-Canadian way. Because, of course, we Americans would normally say Montreal, and I knew that that was wrong. And he says that it's basically like Montreal. Now, I may be getting that wrong, but it's probably closer, at least, than Montreal. So thank you, Mark. And I also have a new Frapper Mapper, Walt, from Albany, New York. You may be interested to know that we have a area just north of us that's called the same thing, except that they insist on pronouncing Albany. I have no idea why, but I've noticed that Albany is starting to sneak into a lot of people's pronunciations. Well, thanks again, everybody, and I'll be back on Tuesday. I'm not quite sure what it's going to be yet this week, but we'll see. Again, thanks. Please leave a comment at amarins.blogspot.com or send an email to me at amarins@yahoo.com. Bye. My home is my-